2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I might not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, Father God, I pray, God, tonight that you would bless the preaching of thy word. I do pray, God, that as your vessel, you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. And help me, Lord, to get out of the way and allow you to speak to hearts. I do pray, God, for every need, every burden. Most of all, we pray that you'll be glorified in and through this place. And in a few moments, as we look back to the cross, may we be reminded that you've done too much for us to do so little for you. Now bless now the preaching of thy word. Move in a special way in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. As you read the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul's second epistle to the church in Corinth that he had started, having spent a year and a half in the city of Corinth, God, through Paul's ministry, had built a church. You've heard me talk about all the sin that existed in Corinth, and yet despite the sin, God built a church. We are reminded, as we heard this morning, there is a balm in Gilead, there is a physician, and there is no reason for sickness not to be recovered. Aren't you glad that despite your sin, that God still saved you? And this is what he did in Corinth. And you'll notice the letter of 1 Corinthians that is written because of all of the sin that has crept into the church of Corinth. And according to 2 Corinthians, a good number of those things had been corrected. Godly sorrow had taken place. Repentance had occurred. They had cleared themselves of these matters. And by the way, these matters that are referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 are matters like defilement and disagreement and incest and carnality and on and on and on and on. The confusion about the gifts of the Spirit, debate about the resurrection, taking each other to court. These are matters that are attacked in 1 Corinthians chapter, in the first epistle of Corinthians. But here in Paul's second epistle, now Paul is writing again, and the nature of this epistle is somewhat different than the nature of the first. Now he is not attacking, if you would, the sins or the wickedness per se that the people were involved in that identified their carnality as incest or adultery or taking each other to court or confusion about the resurrection. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul, in other places in this epistle, is dealing with some personal attacks that have arisen from his critics. These are critics that, despite Paul's authenticity, despite Paul's legitimacy, despite the fact that Paul was truly an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had seen the resurrected Lord, he had been vested with that authority, he had been used by Almighty God, he had saved their lives by bringing the gospel, he had defied the odds of others by going to Corinth anyway. Despite all that Paul had done for the city of Corinth, these heretics and these false teachers had crept into the church, infiltrated their false doctrine, and this resulted in a questioning of Paul from the people. Paul deals with these critics. He answers these accusations. He responds to them in a very clear manner. But within 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he deals with an issue that exists in the church that was happening among God's people. And because of this, it was limiting people from obeying God, from living for God, from growing for God, and from being all that they could be for God. Now, how many of you would agree with me tonight? You don't want anything in your life that limits you from being all that God wants you to be. Would you raise your hand and say amen? Tonight, I want to deal with one of those areas that hinders us from being all we can be for God. It is the area of strongholds. Strongholds. Let me define strongholds. Fortresses. Fortifications. Strongholds are these bulwarks, these structures that are built, established, cemented, and hard to break down in the lives of believers. Now, they are works of Satan, but they are hard to get rid of. Strongholds can come by way of ignorance, prejudices, lusts, habits. They can exist in the hearts of people. They can show their ugly head in life and in society. Strongholds are Satan's work in the lives of believers that produces in them fortresses of resistance that, although they don't want them, they can't seem to get rid of them. Although they don't like them, they won't seem to go away. Although they didn't ask for them, they've shown up and worn out their welcome. And as long as they are existent in the life of a believer and in the body of Christ, they will limit God's people from being all that God wants them to be. Now, hear me now and hear me well. You may want to obey God. You may commit to obey God. You may surrender on the altar to obey God. You may exude all your effort to obey God. But as long as those perpetual strongholds are standing like bulwarks in your life, all of your intentions will fail. I'd like to ask you tonight, do you have a stronghold? Is there something in your life that needs to be gone but won't easily leave? It could be a vice. It could be a habit. It could be something of yesteryear that won't seem to let go of you. It could be what you call a generational curse. It could be something that's crept into your life over which you cannot get victory. It could be something that lingers and lurks and seems to last in your life. It could be a besetting sin. It could be false doctrine. It could be the creeping in or the infiltration of questioning the word of God and battling with the fundamentals of the faith. Listen to me. Churches are being destroyed today because people have strongholds in their lives. And they look in the mirror of the word of God and they wonder why the Bible that they know is true and the word of God that they know is pure and the spirit of God that they know is powerful and the principles of God that they know will never change. They wonder why they look at them as admirable and as acknowledged, but yet these things seem to perpetuate and persist their way in their lives. Listen to me tonight. If you've got something in your life that's big, that's emboldened, that's a bedrock in your life that cannot seem to get out of your life, I've got good news for you. Because for the child of God, these strongholds that the world can't eradicate, these strongholds that counseling can't get rid of, these strongholds that psychology cannot combat, these strongholds that all of these programs seem to can't get rid of, these strongholds that many have learned to live with because they cannot break free from them, according to the word of God, these strongholds can be pulled down. I'd like to preach tonight on the pulling down of strongholds. The pulling down of strongholds. I am afraid that too many Christians are living afraid. I get questions asked me this all the time. I want to change, but how can I do it? I'm tired of this in my life, but how am I supposed to get rid of it? I hear comments made. I really don't want to live that way, but I seem to keep falling in that rut. And listen, if you're talking like that, you may have a stronghold. I've heard people say, Pastor, I know I shouldn't do it, but I can't help myself. If you're talking like that, you may have a stronghold. I hear people say, Pastor, I know it's wrong, and I know that the Bible disagrees with it, but I find myself engaged in it without even realizing it. Listen to me. You have a stronghold. If there are prejudices, lusts in your life, if there's ignorance about the Word of God that you cannot seem to get victory over, my friend, you have a stronghold. But I'm glad tonight that Paul attacks these religious heretics and these false teachers and says to them, you may be as the minority, stirring up strife and tension in the church and thereby causing believers who once loved me to question me. But I want you to know that as the man of God, I am combating these problems. I am dealing with these issues, and on the authority of God's word, they will be pulled down. The pulling down of strongholds. Three quick things tonight. How your strongholds gonna get pulled down? Number one, write down the essence of warfare. The essence of warfare. Hear me now. And Paul is speaking primarily in context of the ministry, but broadly, all of us are in the ministry. Let me mention that again. All of us are in the ministry. You say, Pastor, I'm not in full-time ministry. No, but he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And he wasn't talking to Baptist preachers or missionaries or evangelists. He was talking to born-again believers. And every single one of us, the day we get saved, we have a ministry. You say, Pastor, I don't know what my ministry is. Well, I'm glad you asked. Your ministry, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What is the ministry of reconciliation? Reconciliation. It's whereby I go out to a lost and dying world and I plead with them the same way God saved me. Allow him to save you. That is my ministry. Listen, hear me well. That's your ministry. But with a stronghold, you're no good at it. So in order to pull down my stronghold, first thing I have to realize, I'm at war. Let me say that again. I'm at war. The ministry is warfare. Now notice Paul's proper composure. I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Notice his gentle appeal. And by the way, the word warfare there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 literally means campaign, the weapons of our warfare, verse number 4. If you're writing that down in your notes, the word warfare there means campaign. So watch this now. Paul says, when it comes to strongholds, hey, listen, I'm at war. Here's what he's saying. When it comes to strongholds, I don't just not like them. I don't just not care for them. I don't just wish they were gone. They don't just get on my nerves. When it comes to strongholds in my life, I am on a campaign to eradicate them. And I'd like to ask you, how much attacking did you do this week at your stronghold? Let me just throw some out there. Your strongholds could be jealousy. Your stronghold could be unforgiveness. Your stronghold could be lust. Your stronghold could be a bad temper. Your stronghold could be alcohol or drugs or envy. Your stronghold could be gossip or backbiting. Your stronghold could be deception or lying. All right now? I'm just simply saying it's a stronghold. But wait a minute, Pastor. I'm having trouble getting in my stronghold. Tell yourself you're at war. You're at war. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Listen, this Christian life is not a cakewalk. Right. It's not a masseuse parlor. It's not a country club. Amen. This Christian life is not the Boy Scouts. All right. It's not the Moose Lodge. Listen to me. The Christian life is a battle. Amen. We are soldiers. We've been enlisted in the fight. And we've got a commander by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're marching to Zion. The essence of warfare. Listen, beloved. The pulling down of strongholds. By the way, the word pulling down, catharsis, literally means to demolish or destroy. You know what? You shouldn't tolerate them strongholds in your life. You ought to destroy them. Amen. You shouldn't settle for sin in your life. You shouldn't settle for that which displeases God. Well, I'm human, I'm flesh, and I'm just prone to wonder. Listen to me. That's if you're living in the flesh. Listen to me. You've been snatched out of hell. Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You don't have to sin. You don't have to live like the devil. You don't have to act like you're lost. In the name of Jesus, you can destroy them. his gentle appeal. He says, I'm pleading with you in the meekness of Christ. I'm trying to be nice about this. Here's what he's saying. I could really come at you in a very bold way, but I'm trying to be nice about it. I'm trying to be nice about it. In the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, he comes with a gentle appeal. And by the way, one of the criticisms of Paul was this. When he's with us, he acts all nice. And when he gets away with us, he breaks bad. This is what they were saying. Look at verse number 1. Who in presence am base or common among you, and being absent bold towards you. Here's what they were saying, Paul. As soon as you get away from us and pick up that pen, all of a sudden you start getting rough and you start getting tough on us. As soon as you get away from us, all of a sudden you start breaking bad on us. So Paul says, instead of coming rudely, I come with a gentle appeal. I come with a gracious awareness that Christ needs to be seen in me. But not only do I have a proper composure, but I have a poised confrontation. Notice he said, I'm giving you a strong warning. Verse number 2, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. And in so many words, verse number 2 is he saying, don't make me come there. You can talk all you want about me while I'm absent. But with my apostolic authority, I could show up and let you have it. I'm trying to be bold with my pen so I don't have to be bold in person. You know what Paul's trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us that there's a dichotomy that exists in the believer as we're in warfare. Here it is. One side of us says we've got to be humble like the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we can't show up at these strongholds like we've got it all together. But on the other hand, why our humility grips us in the meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ, simultaneously, there ought to be a boldness with us that says, yes, I am humble knowing that I cannot do it without Christ, but I'm emboldened in knowing I cannot leave it alone. Cannot leave it alone. I'm going to settle for it. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to agree to it. I'm going to embolden. So he attacks this. He attacks this. He gives them a very serious warning. He says that, by the way, I don't have a serious warning, but I have a separated walking. Amen. And I have a spiritual warring. Wait a minute now. Remember, they were calling Paul soft. And by calling Paul soft, in so many words, they were saying to him, if you show up in Corinth and face us mano a mano and fight hand to hand, we're going to whip you, Paul. This is what they were in essence implying to him. But in writing back to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he said there's a higher power. Please understand something. When I show up to you in the flesh, when I show up to you in the physical, when I show up to you in my human body, I'm not going to fight you in my own power. I'm not going to fight you in my own intellect. I'm not going to come with eloquence. I'm not going to come with philosophy. I'm not going to come with smartness. I'm not going to come with IQ. When I show up to you, please understand, I'm showing up with a sanctified walk and a separated warring. In other words, yes, I'm in a battle, but it's not the battle that's going on in the Middle East. It's the battle that takes place in the Spirit. So we began with the essence of warfare. Secondly, the effectiveness of our weapons. For the weapons of our warfare. Notice our weapons have a powerful source. Notice what Paul said. They're mighty through God. Did you hear that? They're mighty through God. What are you saying? I'm saying, Paul said, we walk not after the flesh. So if we don't walk after the flesh, we walk after what? Amen. Come on. If we don't walk after the flesh, we walk after the what? Amen. Walk in the flesh and ye shall not. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. The word filled means to be controlled, to be led, to be guided. Listen, the simile in Ephesians chapter 5 is, as the drunkard is controlled by alcohol, so the Christian should be controlled by the Spirit. Listen to me. When other people influence your life more than the Holy Spirit of God, no wonder you still have strongholds. Listen to me. God help us. Notice the character of our weapons. By the way, let me just give you three that pop out my mind. The Spirit I just mentioned. Here's another one. The Scriptures. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Listen, our weapons are not carnal. Listen, you're not going to beat your stronghold in the flesh. Listen, I'm talking to people who have created a cyclical atmosphere to their sin. In other words, they keep going back to it and back to it and back to it and back to it. It's a besetting sin. Listen to me. You won't beat your sin by yourself. It requires something bigger than you, stronger than you, mightier than you, and more powerful than you. And my friend, I'm glad that we've got something that will work every single time, and that is the Word of God. Spirit, the Scriptures. How about this? Supplication. Praying always. Here's my question. You got a stronghold that's been in your life too long? How much do you pray about it? And when you pray, pray in the Spirit. I'm not talking about talking in tongues and making a bunch of nonsense. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. I'm talking about where the Holy Spirit not only leads your life, but He leads your prayers. Amen. You know, God has to answer your prayer if it's the Holy Spirit told you to pray. Amen. If I don't get my prayers answered, you might be praying the wrong one. Supplication. We get to the list in Ephesians chapter 6 and the whole armor of God, and I'm afraid that oftentimes we leave prayer out of the picture. Prayer is one of our most powerful weapons. As a matter of fact, what you get from the Word of God has to do with what you pray to God. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about we need some men, women, boys, and girls in Crossroads Baptist Church to give themselves to prayer and to simply say, there are things in my life that don't belong. There are things in my life that don't please God. There are things in my life that I want to get rid of. I've tried by myself. I've tried on my own. I've tried my own way, and I still fall back in the same rut. But I'm going to get a hold of the throne of God in the boldness that I was given by the Lord Jesus Christ and pray my way through. Amen. Stronghold. Listen to me. Is there something in your life that you can't get rid of? What kind of weapons are you using? The effectiveness of our weapons. Notice, beloved, if you would, not only the powerful source, but the positive success. Notice what the Bible said. Casting down. There's an inward casting. Now, I'd like you to notice where these strongholds resonate. In the mind. Look at just a moment. Your pastor and teacher. Don't expect to be a good Christian if you can't win the battle in your mind. Listen. The believer who can't stay focused is the believer who has a runaway thought life. It is not spiritually permissible for you to dive and to delve in sin mentally and convince yourself that you're fine because you're not acting it out physically. Amen. You say, I've not had adultery. I'm saying he committed adultery in his heart, hath committed it already. Amen. You say that the Bible said, thou shalt not kill. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, whosoever shall call his neighbor Rakah, which means fool. In other words, you didn't shoot him with a bullet, but you shot him with your lethal mouth. Okay? So you have still killed in God's economy. So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying the stronghold has to be beaten. The stronghold has to be conquered in your mind. I'd like to ask believers, how many are struggling with a wayward, runaway, reckless thought life? And you find yourself sitting down, chasing things in your mind that you should not be chasing, gratiating and gravitated to things that should not appease you and should not appeal to your spiritual appetite. You find yourself sitting at a cubicle and wondering in your mind, I'm talking about lustful thoughts, and I'm talking about wayward reason. Listen to me. He said, imaginations. Imagination's a word. It's a word that means the wayward reasoning of man. Listen to me. Logismos in the Greek, it is reasonings and disputations. Listen to me now. The imaginations of man are the wanderings, the wayward wanderings in your mind. They are the things that your curiosity and your creativity allow you to chase after outside of the pleasure of God. Listen to me. If you've lost it in your mind, the first chance your body gets at it, it'll be. Logismos. Imagination. Be careful when your mind runs wild. Pastor, I've got a strong hope. Now, wait a minute. Here's the thing about logismos. Here's the thing about imagination. That an imagination about something unrelated to a stronghold can still embolden it. Are you listening to me? Some of you don't understand what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. You may have imagination about doing something with someone that's not your wife, and you may not do it, but it may affect the way you tell the truth. Are you listening to me? You may listen to a rap song that has language in it that you don't use, but it may affect your resistance when the devil slips in another temptation. Are you following me? You see, if you're spiritually weakened, that means you're susceptible to any sin. Okay, so walking in the Spirit is not just to keep you from falling into your main sins. Walking in the Spirit is to keep you right with God. I wish somebody helped me preach. And I'm not trying to be led by God just so I won't fall back into that stuff I used to be addicted to. I'm trying to walk in the Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable unto God. I don't just want to stay out of the stuff I used to struggle with. I want to wake up every day and have my thoughts and my deeds and my action and my clothes and my reaction and my temper and the way I lead as a father and the way I carry myself as a husband and the way I guide my church as a pastor. I want every area of my life to please God, and I cannot allow Satan to allow my mind to wander the wrong place, because if my mind is wandering, then the Spirit of God cannot direct me. Imagination. Casting. Wait a minute now. When I utilize spiritual weapons, watch this. When I'm praying like I should, when my relationship with the Bible is what it should be. Wait a minute. And when the Spirit is doing what He's supposed to do in my life, guess what happens? Imaginations get cast down. Now, can I demonstrate? Pastor, I've got these things that of my past, these things I've looked at I shouldn't look at. These places I've gone I shouldn't. Watch this now. Pastor, I don't even go there anymore. Pastor, I don't even look at that anymore. But they keep flashing in my mind. Well, wait a minute. These are imaginations. Wayward reasoning. By the way, here's what wayward reasoning does. It not only has your mind thinking about stuff that you shouldn't be thinking about, it has your mind creating excuses for actions you shouldn't be doing. Wayward reasoning tells you, I know I did this, but wayward reasoning goes, it's really nothing wrong with it. Now, how do I combat wayward reasoning? If something is wayward, I need to guide it, amen, and guard it with something that's still, something that's sure, something that's stable, something that's solidified. Hence why we need the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God doesn't wonder. He testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God doesn't wonder. He is the writer of the Scriptures. The Spirit of God doesn't wonder. He is in agreement with the Father and the Son. The Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to God. So I must walk in the Spirit. Wait a minute now. I need the Word of God. They call them hand in hand, right? The Spirit is the author of the Word. I need to read the Word, study the Word, memorize the Word, meditate on the Word, and apply the word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Therefore I have esteemed all thy precepts to be right, and I hate every false way. The law of the Lord is perfect, concerning converting the soul. Listen to me, the testimonies of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. Everything about God's word is true and right and wholesome. I challenge you to find me one believer in Crossroads Baptist Church who's praying like he should, reading the Bible like he should, and following the Holy Spirit like he should, who's dipping and dabbing in these wicked strongholds. You sit down with folks and say, I keep doing it. How much? Do you read your Bible well? Do you talk that well? Is the Spirit guiding me? By the way, don't expect God to take a stronghold out of your life in one area when you have ignored the Scripture in another area. People come to church on Sunday morning and say, I'm trying to get my life right. And then you preach to them that the Bible says you ought to be back on Sunday night. They skip Sunday night service and wonder why the Bible won't work in another area when they're ignoring it. Help me now. I'm just simply saying you can't pick and choose when God is authoritative and get what you can get. It's not Burger King. It's not Old Country Buffet. It's not Chipotle. Hold the beans and extra meat. No, this is God's law. It is perfect. It is right. It is immutable. It is not susceptible to us. Listen to me. It is not subject to change. It is not contingent upon your desires. It is not fluctuating with the shifts and the trends and the status quo of society. God's word is been tried in the fire and it will endure forever. So there's a inward casting, but there's an incredible captivating. Now watch this now. Here's what the weapons do. Bringing into captivity. Do you see that? Every thought. By the way, we're casting down imaginations and high things. Hupsoma. Hupsoma. H-U-P-S-O-M-A. High things. It's used to mention a mountain, a barrier, an imposing defense. Okay? Here's the idea. Something that people build to climb up on so they can look down at other people. It's a high thing. It's a high thing. It's when you spend all week long building up a stronghold in your life. Wait a minute now. Building up a high thing in your life so you can walk around to other people and say that I'm better than you. Wait a minute. You know what the Bible says? When you get in the Word and when you're led by the Spirit and when you talk to Almighty God through prayer, guess what? Them high things get cast down. And you don't look down on people. You look up at God. But then he says, the incredible captivating and bringing into captivity every thought. Noema is the word thought there in the Greek, N-O-E-M-A. And it means it's a purpose or a mental thing. Now watch this now. This is a purpose or something mental in your mind. Every thought, bringing into captivity every purpose or every mental pondering in your mind. Watch this now. To the obedience of Christ. Now, here's what I want you to get out of this. It is not the will of God for you to stop thinking. Look at this moment. God don't want you to be a robot. Some people are here, God doesn't want me to think just, no. God doesn't want you to stop thinking. God wants you to use his weapons, the Spirit, the Scripture, amen, the Spirit, the Scripture, and supplication. And he doesn't want you to stop thinking. He just wants you to think with the weapons of spiritual warfare so that you don't stop thinking, but that when you do think, it's in obedience to him. Wait a minute. That means if I'm in my Bible, I'm on my knees, I'm led by the Spirit like I should. I can't change the fact I have a brain. God made it. I can't change the fact that I'm my personality. God gave it to me. I can't change the fact of where I've been in my Christian life. And by the way, do you really believe that if God wanted to take you right to heaven because he knew you couldn't get over your past sins, he wouldn't? If God thought or knew that you would be so guilty because of what you did before you got saved or what you've done in the past and you'd never be able to get over it, he'd have sent you to heaven the moment you got saved. Why do you think he left you here? He left you here to experience victory in Jesus and stop using your past failures or your propensities because what you've been exposed to as an excuse for still wandering around in that mess. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying the pornographic mind, the inappropriate mind, I'm saying the gossiping mind, I'm saying the lustful mind, the jealous mind, the envious mind, the bitter mind, the unforgiving mind, the mind that's full of animosity, the mind that's full of false comparison, whatever it is, the drinking mind, the smoking mind, the doping mind, whatever it is that your mind tells you you have to have, when it is saturated with Scripture, when it is led by the Spirit, when it is bathed in supplication, that same mind that desired that mess can now desire to walk with God, can now desire to be at peace with God, can now desire the things of God. That mind, instead of wondering, how can I go find that what I don't need to find, can now start wondering, how can I find somebody that's lost to give them Jesus? How can I find more in the Scripture that I've never seen before? How can I pray in a way that moves Almighty God? How can I draw nigh to Him as He draws nigh to me? Listen to me. You don't have to stop thinking. You just have to use your weapons to get you to think in a way that lines up with obedience with God. And that stronghold comes down. Everything that's thought, every purpose, every mental ponder is captivated. And that mind gets told, no, no. You're not allowed to think what doesn't obey God. Now, wait a minute. We're all going to mess up. You know why? Because we drop the right weapon sometime and try to do it in the flesh. And as a result of that, those thoughts are not captivating. Well, let me give you this last point and I'm done. The expectation to win. The essence of warfare, the effectiveness of our weapons, the expectation to win. And by the way, Paul was not trying to win to get a point in his column. He was trying to win for the glory of God. Notice the serious readiness. Verse 6, and we'll close. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Wait a minute. Here's what he's saying. I am eagerly ready to deal with every stronghold. Eagerly ready. I'm not hesitant. Don't mistake me. I am not scared to deal with stuff that doesn't agree with God. I'm not afraid. But notice he said a separated response. When your obedience is fulfilled. Now think about this. The lurking minority in the Church of Corinth that stirred up these schisms and sowed the seeds or sown the seeds of disapproval and speculation into the lives of people that Paul had led to the Lord. That's why you better be careful who you run with. And now people that would be in hell were it not for Paul's ministry were questioning whether or not he was even legitimate because of these false teachers. Paul said, I'm ready to deal with it. As soon as you obey, here's what he's saying. I'm going to lay out every person that's stirring up these strongholds in this church. Here's what I want you to do, Corlin. All of you that know who they are, separate yourself from them. So when I lay the smack down on them, I don't hit the wrong people. As soon as your obedience is fulfilled. Now, you know what this says to me? That one of the main reasons why God's people can't get rid of their strongholds is because they won't stop hanging with people that are helping them keep their strongholds. Now, I have talked, and I'm not, and I'll end here. I have talked to Christians in this church, in other churches, and I have talked to them about areas of their life where I have talked to them before. And where they spoke to me before, they said, I don't want this anymore in my life. And here they are cycling around to a same fall where they've been before. And almost inevitably, they fail because they went back to the same people that they failed with the first time. So don't tell God you don't want junk in your life if your primary fellowship is with junkies. Okay, even the 12-step tell you got to change your surroundings. And they don't even work. But the concept is right. They don't have the power of God. But even the psychologists and psychiatrists will tell you, if you want to get off drugs, don't hang with addicts. And don't lie to yourself and say, I can sell and not use. Right? Okay? And some of you are like, oh my goodness, Pastor, I didn't know you know that. Yeah, I've been led something to the Lord. They got saved but didn't get off a drug. What happened? They're still running with the same group. So if you can listen, if you can't sell and think you're not going to use, right, then don't tell me I hang with them, but I don't do what they do. I listen to it, but I don't act out what it says. You're a member of this church, and you have friends who live in a way that's contrary to the Word of God, and you don't want to separate from them because your bond is long-term, and you've been through a lot. Watch this now. You see, Pastor, at my lowest point, they were with me. You know why they were with you? Because they took you there. I was down and out, and he was with me. He slammed you down. No wonder he was with you. Why in the world are we married to bonds that are detrimental, right, and distant from the most important bond of all? Paul said, the work of Satan is in the church of Christ. And this work that's in his church is causing strongholds. And there are people who could be closer to God than are there. In God's name, and through God's way, thank God, strongholds can be pulled down. Father, we bless your name.